Father God, we honor you and recognize you, Father God, as the Holy One. May your will be done. May your kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Bless us this day, and then let us be led by your Spirit. Bless Lori as she leads us in our thinking. Thank you, Father God, for your word, for the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to mold us into Jesus' image. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
We serve a wonderful God, don't we? Thank you. I want to start our lesson today with a reading from Psalms 103. We're going to begin in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord. We're going to see an example of God's steadfast love and slow to anger personality today in our lesson. So now if you will join me in John chapter 8, we're going to start with an overview of this chapter. So one thing that I like to do when I'm preparing for a Bible study is kind of get a big picture idea of all of what we're going to be reading and studying. So on the handout sheet, the first question I asked for you to do is to look at all the chapter titles and the subtitles, and starting in John 52 through 8:59. And the reason I want to do that is because that gets your mind ready for the things you're fixing to learn. And maybe that's like, oh, I know that story. I've heard that story. Or perhaps sometimes those chapter titles, they're like, ooh, I wonder what that's all about. And so it just kind of gets you a little bit prepared for what's coming. And I know that various translations of the Bible have different topics. So what we're going to be reading from today is the English Standard Version. And so I'm going to go through the chapter titles with you. The woman caught in adultery. I am the light of the world. The truth will set you free. You are of your father, the devil. And then the last one is, before Abraham was, I am. Have y'all studied some of these sections before? Do some of them seem a little bit very interesting for us today? Okay, so that's what we do. We look at the chapter titles just to get a big picture view. Now, I want to look at a couple of verses in the chapter that I'm pointing you to so that we get a context. What is happening? So question two is, I want you to read three verses and kind of see where is Jesus and what is he doing. So I want you to look at, read John 8, verse 2, verse 20, and verse 59. So verse 2 says this, early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And then in verse 20, these words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. And then the last verse, verse 59, so they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So by looking at these three verses, what can we learn about where Jesus is and what is he doing? He's in the temple, and he's teaching. Very good. So what we have here is one day, one session of Jesus teaching. This is like a day in the life of Jesus. One time that Jesus is at the temple teaching. So does that kind of set up the whole entire chapter then? Just kind of putting that in your mind. Okay. All right. So now his teaching is very important. And he gets interrupted. And then he begins teaching again. And then there's lots of controversy and lots of conversation. But what is he trying to teach? What is the message? So question three says, This chapter covers the events of one day. He's at the temple, he's teaching, he's interrupted, but his message is repeated in chapter 8, verse 12. So what is the main idea of his teaching? So we look at verse 12, and it says, "Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So you see that Jesus is teaching on his divinity. He is the light of the world. He's already shared that he is the bread of life. So Jesus is teaching that he is God. Now, when there is important teaching going on, and especially when it's on the matter of spiritual things, there are often interruptions. There are often distractions, and there can be opposition. So what we're going to learn today is, how did Jesus handle that? Was he rattled? Did he get flustered? Was he gracious? Was he strong? We're going to look at the personality of Jesus. We're going to look at Jesus, who is the light of the world. He is our example. He is love. And we're going to see him in his divinity, also being the Lord who was slow to anger, abounding in love. So this is the great God that we serve. So with all of that, now I'm going to read the first section of chapter 8, the section about the woman caught in adultery. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and then we'll have some more discussion. They each went to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So, what do you say?" They said this to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more, he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Okay, so what we have so far is we have Jesus in the temple, and he's teaching. And he's teaching about his divinity, the love of God, the way to heaven. And here comes the interruption. Here come the Pharisees and the scribes. They have a woman that they're bringing and dragging into the midst of them. And they're saying, "This woman was caught in the act of adultery." So the law says that we can stone her. Do you know what that means, to stone someone? The community, those who stand in judgment of the one who is the sinner, there's a pit. And the sinner, the guilty person, is put down into the pit. And the self-righteous take the rock, take the stones. Maybe they're not this big. Maybe they're bigger. But all of them throw the stone at the woman who is, or the man, who is in the lower part. So the gravity and the weight and all of the stones hitting this person, it's intended to kill the person. It's intended to bring about the death of one who is guilty. From their peers, their community, from those who make the rules and the laws. So the law of Moses said a woman who had committed adultery was to be stoned. The law also said the man was to be stoned as well. So we have full context on that. It's not only the women who were to be stoned. But the Pharisees created all of this scenario to trap Jesus, to test Jesus, to get Jesus to say something against the law of Moses that was given by God. Because if Jesus defends the law and the woman is stoned, then Jesus' message of grace is power. They want to test him. They want to see. So what do you say? Now, what did he say? Well, what did he do before he said anything? He was sitting down. And so the first thing he did was he just starts writing with his finger in the ground. Our Lord is slow to anger. How many of us might have just stood right up and got real loud and said a whole lot if we were interrupted, if we're challenged, if we're tested? If someone says, so what do you say? Well, let me tell you, I think. And we are women of valid opinions. It matters what we think. It does. But in this moment, well, he's teaching, he's the light of the world. And here's a perfect opportunity for him to display his love. So what he says to those who are saying, so what do you think? The law says we should stone her, so what do you think? What do you say? He stands up and he looks at the accusers. Now all the ones he's teaching are still right there and they're listening. But he now looks at the accusers and says, let the one of you without sin throw the first stone. He let their own words judge themselves. He flipped it back on them. The law was valid. It was from God. It served a purpose. The people of God were to be holy and set apart. But Jesus came for a new covenant, for grace. And so here he is, not saying anything against the law. He didn't disparage the law at all. He simply said, if you are without sin, let he who is without sin throw the first stone. Well, it just so happened that the older ones recognized that they had sin and they left first. And then the younger among the group of accusers, they left. So then we're left with Jesus and the woman. And of course, the other people who are around because Jesus is teaching, they haven't left. But in that conversation to be had, it's Jesus and the woman. The accusers are gone. The Pharisees and the scribes have now left. And Jesus says, so where are they? Does no one condemn you? And she said, no one. But what did she say after she said, no one? Lord. She called him Lord. In that moment, this one who was guilty called upon the Lord. And she did not receive condemnation. We have at one point in our life all sin. We can call upon our Lord and receive no condemnation. That's the beauty of this story. Jesus took what could have been an interruption to his teaching about him being God, and he let it become an example of his grace. Praise the Lord. So, let's look at question 6. On the paper for today, it says, Jesus does not condemn her. And that's an example from John 3:16-18, and also Romans 1:1-34. Do y'all know what John 3:16-18 says? We all know what John 3:16 says. Here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him, as the woman did, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. In Romans, we learn 8:1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And verse 34 of chapter 8 in Romans says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Instead of condemnation, he's interceding for those who call upon his name. He's interceding for us to be successful, to resist temptation, or even when we're guilty, to call out upon him and receive the grace once that we know that we so need it. I also included a verse here, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For if we walk by faith, not by sight. By faith, ladies, embrace that you are forgiven. By faith, know in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Take a deep breath. Let it out. That ought to be freeing for every one of us. Okay, that is the God that we serve. Slow to anger, abounding in love. I wanted to ask the class, this is the class question. Since Jesus gave mercy to this woman, how do you think he will treat you? Is there someone in here who would like to share with the class your testimony? Maybe this is a private matter, and that's perfectly fine. Some of our sin is known only to God. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody who would like to testify about the grace of God? Lord, we thank you for your love for us and for your dying on the cross to forgive us of our sins. Thank you, God, for your mercy. For all of us are sinners. All of us, Lord. And your mercy lasts forever. Once we are forgiven by you, that sin is forever erased. As far as the east is from the west is how far you have removed our sins from us. We thank you, dear Lord, that when we repent and we spend time and call upon our Lord Christ Jesus, that times of refreshing can come, and cleansing can come, and healing can come. Lord, in this holy moment, I pray, let your power of the cleansing and the lightness of the removal of guilt and the love that you embrace us with no condemnation, be what wraps us and fills us with peace. I thank you for these brave women who have shared. Lord, and we thank you all, for all of us have stories that are just as powerful as these. And we give it all to you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
My husband became a minister. We lived in places where we had very little money. We have two wonderful children, but we struggled all of our marriage financially. My son had Crohn's, was diagnosed with Crohn's. That debt was put on a credit card, and then when the rate went up on it, we would change to another credit card. And we spent our life blessed, but really struggled financially. We had what we needed. But there came a time in my life where, And I would do 2 part-time jobs. I would find something to do extra to try to help. And but it just, I would feel like I was in a hole financially, and I would try to get out. And then the next thing would happen, like my son had Crohn's, and down we went. He was in small churches that didn't give him insurance, medical insurance. That was all on us. So we spent many years in that situation. As I got a little bit older, my dad was a CPA, and I inherited some money from him. I won't tell you how much we owed on several credit cards, but we paid every bit of that debt off. And Sam, when that happened, I understood the freedom that comes from the forgiveness of God. There was nothing pushing down on me. There was nothing making me feel like I had to do one more thing to financially help. It was erased, and yours is erased, and He will give you that. It is the most joyful thing in the world, and I will pray every day for you that you feel that release.
Anybody else?
When I went off to college, I was born on a Wednesday and church on a Sunday. So my life has been fully immersed in the Word. And when I went to college, I made some changes in my life that were not necessarily for the best. And I had turned to a life of promiscuity. And then at 19 years old, I was told that I was infertile. And when I was a kid, people would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I would say, I want to be a mommy. And so at 19, being told, you'll never have a baby, that did nothing but drag me further from God. And then eventually I found my place back in His graces. I turned from that life, and then 4 years after turning from that life, I met my husband at church. I walked into a small group, and he was sitting there, and I called a friend, and I said, I'm going to marry him. And I didn't even know his name. I did marry him, and it was because I truly believe that God said, hey, this is where I want you to meet your husband. I don't want you going out to bars and meeting people and doing things not true. And, I can stand up because I am very much pregnant. So, that is just when I just give over to him and believing for 11 years that I was never going to have a baby. And then I got married 6 months ago and I'm 5 months pregnant. So, when I listen to him and follow him, he shows me that I get to be that thing that I've desired to be. I just needed to wait until it was his timing and the right man.
Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Sylvia, and a lot of you know I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been sober probably, I don't know, I've lost track, 25, 26 years. And it's only by the grace of God. He finally pulled me out of the muck and made me what I am today. Recently, something happened to me that God once again came through. The end of June, I had a colonoscopy. I got home and wasn't home for more than a half an hour, and I started throwing up. I called my sister, she came. I ended up in the hospital. I had ingested the anesthesia. I ended up with pneumonia and the flu. In the following couple months, I had 2 bacterial infections. I had a viral infection. I had a UTI, and I had a yeast infection. And I never, ever thought I would feel like myself again. But you know what? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I laid on the couch and I prayed because I had no energy. None. And there my puppies laid right beside me, probably praying for Mom to get off the couch and do something. Anyway, I'm here today, and I'm better. I'm getting my energy back, and I'm stronger. All for the grace of God. Thank you.
God has done a wonderful thing here today. What we'll do now is we'll close in prayer. And are we still passing? I'm going to close us in prayer right now. And also too, just let me say this. I'd like you to read Psalms 103 this week and study on that. Psalm 103. For our God is slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 103. So let's just pray. Dear Lord, how mighty you are. How wonderful you are. And how amazing is your grace. You are the Lord of Lords, and you do set the standard, and you did give the law, and you do say this is right and this is wrong. And you are the one who says this is sin. And yet, when we call you Lord, you meet us with grace. And it is a beautiful thing. And we testify to your goodness. And we've heard many women here today share how powerful you are in their lives. And we've all experienced that in some way. And we give you thanks and glory. And so, Lord, we thank you for being the Son of God who was sent into the world so that those of us who call upon your name and who believe shall receive eternal life. Because you came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus Christ might be saved. And we believe, and we believe, and we receive your grace. Jesus, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you. And I pray this out loud, that my hearts are joined with every woman here in this class, and we say, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.